Al-Quds and 3 a.m. in Quetta, Pakistan. This is Press TV's World News.
Many thanks for joining us this hour. Well, millions of people across Iran took to the streets to mark International Quds Day. Press TV's Saman Kujuri has all the details.
The last Friday of the month of Ramadan. Nationwide rallies to mark the International Quds Day. Iranians, like many others around the globe, took to the streets to denounce Israel's atrocities against Palestinians, especially the besieged people of Gaza. Holding up placards and chanting slogans, demonstrators called for the liberation of Jerusalem al-Quds. The protesters also called for an end to Israel's occupation of Palestinian territories.
We are here to voice our solidarity with Palestinians and show that we will never leave them alone. Palestinian children, we love you and we always support you.
The International Quds Day was first designated by the late founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Imam Khomeini, back in August 1979.
Well, as you can see behind me, thousands of people from different walks of life are taking part in the demonstrations to mark the International Quds Day, among them religious minorities.
Experts believe the issue of Palestine has gone beyond the boundaries of Islamic countries and is not just a problem of the Islamic world.
Zionism has nothing to do with the teachings of Judaism. Zionism is a political ideology and quite different from Judaism. Therefore, we as Jewish people condemn Zionists.
This is a crucial issue and a central issue on which everyone can be united, mainly the Muslims, but also all others, because the right to worship, the right to respect the place of worship is the fundamental right of the not only the Muslims of a particular religion or who believe in this, but also the right of and the duty of everyone in the world.
Addressing a large gathering, Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad described resistance as the only way to end Israel's occupation of Palestinian lands. Meanwhile, referring to the direct talks between Israel and the Palestinian Authority in Washington, President Ahmadinejad said that such talks are doomed to failure because they have no basis.
Decades of talks have brought about nothing for Palestinians. Arab nations must learn from the past. Israel is on the brink of collapse and nothing, including U.S. boys, can save it. Tel Aviv will be brought to justice in international courts.
Though the International Quds Day has a special focus on Palestine, it has become a symbolic day for resistance against any sorts of oppression and domineering policies anywhere around the globe. Saman Kujuri, Press TV, Tehran.
Well, there have also been massive turnouts in other countries to mark the International Quds Day. The demonstrators have expressed solidarity with the Palestinians and their cause.
The Grand Paris Mosque was so full that worshippers had to use the pavement outside to pray. The building took 6 years to complete and was opened formally in 1926. It's a place of quiet prayer and reflection, a haven of tranquility in a bustling city. Noisy demonstrations like this are allowed to take place here just once a year to mark International Al-Quds Day.
We're here at the Paris Mosque, the symbol of all Muslims in France, to say no to Israeli barbarity, no to Zionist barbarity, and yes to Islamic unity.
Israel is never condemned. Everything that Israel does, they're never condemned. And that's what we don't accept here.
Antoine J. Sfer is a Franco-Lebanese academic who's been writing about the Middle East for more than 40 years. He's also a close observer of French foreign policy toward the region.
Before Mr. Sarkozy, it was clearly in the Arab side. This is why it's called the French-Arab policy. Now, Mr. Sarkozy wanted to be more and more close to the to Israelis. Israelis.
Jerusalem Al-Quds lies just over 2,000 miles broadly east of Paris, but the holy city touches the heart of all true Muslims. France has Europe's largest Muslim population, and just over 1,000 were here to add their voices to and sympathy for the cause. And demonstrations like this do, of course, put further pressure on politicians to find success in those peace talks. Mark Vautier, Press TV, Paris.
The leader of Lebanon's Hezbollah movement says Tel Aviv is on the brink of collapse as the resistance bloc has foiled the U.S. and Israeli plots.
Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah says the International Quds Day has been designed to remind the world of the Palestinian rights violated by Israel.
To the whole world, and we say that the challenges and the dangers and the difficulties and the pains will not change one little bit our principles. Principles say, and our firm say, that Palestine from the river to the sea is the possession of the Palestinian people, the right of the Palestinian people. Al-Quds Day is the day where we announce that Al-Quds cannot be, not one street of Al-Quds, not one neighborhood in Jerusalem Al-Quds can be an eternal capital for a state named Israel.
Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah also said Israel is an illegal entity that has captured and occupied Palestinian-owned lands by killings and aggression. The Hezbollah leader said Israel's close ally, the United States, has been seeking a plot in the Middle East since 9 years ago.
After the events of September 11, the neoconservatives came into power in the American administration, and they had a certain plot for the region. And this plan wanted to strengthen the Zionist entity, the Israeli entity, to strengthen it and to preserve it forever. It wanted to do this by imposing a humiliating settlement on the Palestinians and an Arab agreement to this settlement. They came with this plan which aimed to destroy the Palestinian resistance completely.
Meanwhile, the European Commission has delayed a proposed deal to allow the transfer of personal data of EU citizens to Israel.
Well, the move comes after Ireland said it is concerned about the use of forged Irish passports by Israel in the assassination of a Hamas official in Dubai back in January. Dublin says data used in the forged documents was obtained through official inspection of travelers' passports in Israel. The Irish government says Israel must tighten up its data protection laws. Ireland was outraged that 8 fake Irish passports were used in the assassination of Mahmoud al-Mabhouh in a Dubai hotel. Forged British, French, Australian and German passports were also used in the operation. Dubai police have said Israeli agents were involved in the assassination.
The International Atomic Energy Agency, the IAEA, has acknowledged that it cannot monitor and assess Israel's undisclosed nuclear sites. IAEA Director General Yukiya Amano says Tel Aviv has restricted the agency in examination of Israel's nuclear potentials. Amano's comments are expressed in his report to the member states of the organization. Tel Aviv has rejected Amano's comments, arguing that his report is politically motivated. Israeli Foreign Minister Avigdor Lieberman says the IAEA intends to divert attention from Iran and Syria. The international community has been urging Tel Aviv to subject itself to nuclear inspections and to join the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. Israel is widely believed to possess over 200 nuclear warheads. Meanwhile, the U.S. economy has shed another 54,000 jobs in August, the third month in a job loss row. Labor Department figures show that as a result of the overall fall in jobs, the unemployment rate has risen to 9.6%. Economists had predicted even worse figures. The U.S. President Barack Obama is expected to announce a series of proposals aimed at creating new jobs next week. While private employers have added over 760,000 new jobs this year, the national unemployment rate has barely moved from the 9.7% figure recorded in January. Meanwhile, oil prices have slipped, ending two consecutive sessions of gain. New York's main contract, light sweet crude for October, shed 42 cents to $74.60. Now, the April 20th explosion on the Deepwater Horizon oil rig killed 11 workers and has caused the worst environmental disaster in U.S. history.
And now the engineers have retrieved a critical piece of equipment that will shed some light on what transpired during the crucial hours of the accident. The 15-meter, 300-ton blowout preventer was designed to stop the flow of oil in case of an emergency. It is widely believed that the device malfunctioned during the accident. Engineers now have detached the critical piece of equipment from the wellhead and are preparing to lift it to the surface. In a testimony to the investigative panel, a BP senior official admitted that the emergency device was actually connected to the wrong pipe. Harry Thierens, BP's vice president for drilling and completion, admits that the blowout preventer was plumbed to a test pipe rather than the correct one. Once retrieved, the blowout preventer will be examined and held as evidence in an official investigation into the accident. While violent protests continue in Mozambique, as fresh clashes over food and fuel prices carry on for a third consecutive day in the capital.
The African country's health minister reports that so far the Maputo riots have left 10 people dead and more than 400 others injured. Sporadic demonstrations continue in the outskirts of the capital despite government ban on any protest. Government security forces have used rubber bullets and tear gas to disperse demonstrators. The angry protest started on Wednesday when thousands of people took to the streets opposing the sharp cost hike of food, fuel and water. The government maintains it has no choice but to increase prices amid rising global wheat costs. The latest riots have cost the African country more than $3 million in damages so far. The South African nation is one of the world's poorest countries, with 70% of its population living below the poverty line.
A 7-magnitude earthquake has rocked New Zealand's second-largest city of Christchurch. According to the U.S. Geological Survey and witness accounts, the quake has caused widespread damage and the collapse of some buildings and power outages. Some injuries, damaged bridges and vehicles have also been reported. There was no major tsunami warning in the town, which is home to a population of 340,000, but aftershocks as big as magnitude 5.7 have been felt. Officials have declared a state of emergency in the city.